But segregation soon followed because Baltimore was in the midst of a major racial change. In 1899 was the turning point when Democrats came back to power in Baltimore under the slogan, "This is a white man's city." So all this was reflected in the admission policies of the hospital, which continued to treat black patients, but now in separate wards.
In your book, you do an incredible job of detailing how the leadership of Hopkins, this elite group of people that controlled Hopkins, also played critical roles in Baltimore City, in its leadership as well.
Yes.
Talk about how Hopkins, you talk about how it was bankrupt at one time, how it grew in prominence, and who some of these key figures were in shaping its history and its rise.
Well, the first, both the university and the hospital, they were governed by separate boards with lots of overlap. And the initial board members were nominated by Hopkins himself. And then afterwards, the connection to Hopkins and his thinking disappeared. And so what we have particularly, there are two interesting developments in the history of the Hopkins complex. And one of them is that Hopkins, president and head of the university trustees, they played a major role in fostering residential segregation in Baltimore.